It was the early morning of August 31st, 1997, when Lady Diana and her lover, Dodi Fayed, were killed in a car crash in Paris. Was it simply an accident? Or someone had just murdered the people's princess? Welcome to the Disconnected Podcast, disconnecting you from reality.
May not be suitable for younger listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to another edition of the Disconnected Podcast.
You're so excited.
I am your host, Angel.
And I am your host, Jesse.
And today, we are going to be talking about the life and untimely demise of Princess Diana.
Yes, we are, because it's a doozy. There's a lot.
Yeah, can you believe it's been 25 years since the unforeseen death of the people's princess?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Sorry, that wasn't a genuine reaction. I zoned out for a second.
Why?
I was thinking, you said princess of the people or something?
The people's princess.
Yeah, that one. And I was like, wasn't she the princess of Wales? I'm sorry. Anyways, it's been 25 years.
No, it's too late.
I'm sorry.
It's too late for that. Let's just move on.
I'm so sorry.
And, you know, throughout the years, the numerous conspiracy theories have come to light.
They have.
So was her fatal car crash simply an accident?
Or was it a murder?
Or was she killed by her own blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So unquestionably, it's one of the most tragic and controversial deaths that shocked the entire world.
It is. It has been. Because she was super popular.
Yeah. She, and everybody loved her.
Yeah. That's why she's called the Princess of the People. Am I saying
the
right?
People's Princess, dude?
I'm sorry. I keep switching.
Get your facts right.
I don't have good attention spans.
What? So do you think she was in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Maybe.
Or perhaps a royal murder.
Or maybe she was at the right place at the right time for some people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Touché. Some say a conspiracy. There's many theories.
There's many theories as to how or why she died. Some people are still like, it's just a car crash. Some people like someone wanted that to happen.
There are a lot of suspicions.
Yes. There's a lot of blame to throw around.
Yeah. But they couldn't. Well, if the royalty just murder her, I mean, they obviously have the money to silence people.
Yeah, they have the money to cover it up because they are the royal family.
Exactly.
They are in charge of the country. So
they have control over everything. Media, the cops, everything.
Yeah. I mean, they're not fully in control because I know there's a parliament in Britain, but or like the UK. I don't know. I don't know how to refer to
the UK.
Anyone. Yeah, the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to people from the UK. That's it. That's all I had to say.
So who was Princess Diana?
I don't know. Who was she?
Well, she's remembered as the People's Princess.
Yes. I know that now.
Because of her widespread popularity and global humanitarian efforts.
Okay.
Yeah. So Diana was born on July 1st, 1961, near Sandringham, England.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the daughter of Edward John Spencer, Viscount Althorp, and Frances Ruth Burke Roche, Viscountess Althorp, later known as the Honorable Frances Shand Kidd.
Oh, these are like rich people because they have like 20 names.
Yeah, 20.
And then they change them 20 times.
Yeah. So her parents divorced when Diana was young and her father won custody of the children.
Okay.
So Diana had two older sisters, Lady Jane Fellows and Lady Sarah McCorkadale. Okay. And a younger brother, Charles Spencer, the 9th Earl Spencer.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the 9th one?
The 9th one, yeah.
They're on a roll.
Following her initial education at home, Diana attended the Riddlesworth Hall School and then West Heath School. Although she was known for her shyness while growing up, she showed an interest in music and dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was shy, but...
But she liked arts.
Yeah. Pop culture.
Yes.
She became Lady Diana Spencer after her father inherited the title of Earl Spencer in 1975.
Oh. Mm-hmm. There's another Earl Spencer now.
Yes. Earl Spencer is a title in the peerage of Great Britain that was created on November 1st, 1765.
Okay.
Along with the title Viscount Althorpe the First. So John Spencer was the first Earl Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was passed to George John Spencer, the second Earl Spencer, and so on.
Okay.
So it's a little bit confusing, but...
I am so confused, but yeah. I'm going to take your word for it that so, there's yeah. just a lot of so, Earl Spencers.
Earl Spencer, these are ranks or title
I of the understand.
Peerage of Great Britain. So it starts with Duke, and then it goes up to Marks, and then Earl.
Oh.
And then Viscount, and then Baron.
Mm.
So these are all titles. Earl Spencer's.
Oh, they're that's titles. Why people are like, Lord Baron, whatever, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I understand.
So, yeah. Diana had a great fondness for children. After finishing school at the Institut Alpin Bidaminet mm-hmm. in Switzerland, she moved to London, in which she began working with children, eventually becoming an assistant at Young England Kindergarten.
Okay.
Yeah. Diana began dating Prince Charles, mm-hmm. heir to the British throne, who was 13 years older than she was.
Oh.
In 1977.
No shame. Get that girl.
13 years. the couple first met when Diana was a child and reportedly played with Charles' younger siblings.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she was like already in that space of royal family. Yes. Whatever.
Yeah. So the younger siblings, they were Prince Andrew and Prince Edward, while her family rented Park House, which is an estate owned by Queen Elizabeth II.
Whoa. Isn't she still the queen?
Yeah, she's like 100 years old.
Dude, she's immortal.
I was going to say that. She's immortal or something? Because she's been the queen like forever.
Yeah. She's been the queen for a quarter of the life of how long America has been America. Yeah. Or like the United States has been the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Charles was usually the subject of media attention. So, the media followed him around and he loved being in the spotlight.
Mm.
Yeah. And his romance with Diana was no exception.
It was like, yes, look at this beautiful lady with me.
Mm-hmm. The press and the public were fascinated by this seemingly odd couple. The reserved, garden-loving prince and the shy young woman with an interest in fashion and pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were like the normal royal family couple who's mm-hmm. just like very private about their life and they don't talk much about anything else other than like royal family stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. On February 6, 1981, Prince Charles proposed to Diana with an 18-carat white gold ring topped with a 12-carat oval Ceylon sapphire surrounded by 14 solitaire diamonds.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of carats.
So, yeah, the ring reportedly cost Charles 28,000 euros.
28,000 euros?
Which is about $47,000.
$47,000? I'm sorry. I'm so shocked by all of the numbers you are saying at the moment. Math is crazy, guys.
That was some ring.
That was... Yeah, that's an understatement. That was some ring. It's the best ring I've ever heard.
I know.
I mean, I don't think I would wear a ring like that, but I just...
Imagine your... It must be heavy, right?
Yeah, it must be heavy. Imagine she's like always dragging her left arm.
Like, are you all right? Yeah, it's just my finger.
She like has to like swing her whole body to slap her hand on the table. Whack.
So, Diana Spencer became Diana Princess of Wales
mm-hmm.
when she married Charles on July 29, 1981. Their wedding took place at St. Paul's Cathedral in the presence of 2,650 guests.
Okay.
Yeah. So
more numbers that are just
more,
big.
More numbers. Yeah. They're important people, so.
Yes.
So, the couple arrived separately and departed together by a carriage ride through the streets of London.
Oh, that was so nice.
Very romantic. So the royal wedding ceremony was broadcast on television around the world, Nearly 1 billion people from 74 countries tuned in to see what many consider to be the wedding of the century.
Mm.
Yeah. So eventually, Diana and Charles had two sons together, Prince William Arthur Philip Louis, born on June 21st, 1982,
mm-hmm.
and Prince Harry Charles Albert David. Man, they have so many names.
Yeah, Albert, they just like look at a list of names and they're like, just I want all 10 of these. I don't want to choose from one. I want all 10.
And the last one, Prince Henry Charles Albert David. He's widely known as Prince Harry.
Mm-hmm. So isn't he the one that married
the reporter? Or
what? No. I know her name. This is me Googling. Keep talking. I'm Googling.
So, yeah. So, he was born on September 15, 1984.
Meghan Markle. There you go.
Is that the Canadian chick? She was a reporter or a thingy, right? Or
Meghan Markle is an American, previously worked as an actress, blogger, and charity ambassador and advocate. I love her.
Yeah. And Henry loved her, too.
And, yeah.
Harry. Sorry.
Yeah, Harry. Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was bad.
So Diana's separation from Charles was announced in December 1992.
Yes, they did separate.
So that's when I was born, December 1992.
Ooh.
Yeah, by British Prime Minister John Major, not to get confused with the artist John Major. So it's not him.
It's not John. John Mayer was the one who helped Princess Diana and Prince Charles separate.
Yeah.
Good job, John Mayer.
No, this is John Major. So he read a statement from the royal family to the House of Commons. Their divorce was finalized in August 1996. So it took them 4 years to get
divorced. Yeah, because it's a very Catholic country,
mm-hmm.
so divorce is like
it's a big no no.
It's a big no no. Like, right.
Oh, okay, all
right. Hey,
ooh,
you're getting divorced.
Ooh,
yikes!
What about that ring?
Mm-hmm. Are you keeping the ring though? Because I would keep that ring in the divorce.
So yeah, the couple became estranged over the years, and Diana struggled with depression and bulimia.
Oh,
yeah, and
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, she had trouble with that. She had depression, and maybe it was just a lot to take in. You know,
maybe like all the media coverage and everything that takes a toll on people.
Yeah. So during their marriage, there were reports of infidelities from both parties.
Mm.
Diana had fallen head over heels for Hasnat Khan, a Pakistani heart surgeon from who she met in 1995.
Yes.
After the couple's fairy tale wedding, Diana felt overwhelmed by her royal duties and the intense media coverage of nearly every aspect of her life.
Dude.
She's just like,
no.
She couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was too much for her.
I mean, it's a lot for anyone.
Just imagine being in a spotlight every day.
You walk out of your house and there's just paparazzi. Because they know where you live.
Yeah, there's like a paparazzi every day in your life. Like,
yeah.
24/7.
And
can't
those,
do anything.
Then there's some paparazzi that are like at a distance. There's some that are right in people's faces.
Yeah.
And that's so intrusive.
So yeah, the paparazzi were always following her.
Mm-hmm.
So she began to develop and pursue her own interests. She served as a strong supporter of many charities and worked to help the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So people living with HIV and AIDS and children in need. So she was very nice.
Yeah, she was like, she loved her community and she loved helping the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate that she passed away because it's just, I don't know, it just sucks.
Yeah, so following her divorce, Diana devoted herself to her sons and charitable efforts, including raising awareness about the dangers of leftover landmines in war-torn Angola.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
There are still, it's crazy, there's still landmines just active in war zones, mm-hmm. everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And anyone can just walk by and die from one. Instead
just
of people,
imagine going, walking to school and...
Yeah. Instead of people going over and like marking areas or like at least trying to disable them, they're just like, oh, we'll just leave them there. It's not our problem anymore. We're not in that country anymore.
It's ridiculous.
What's wrong with you?
I know. So, I mean, and she maintained a high level of popularity with the public. I can't talk today.
It's a struggle today. It's Tuesday, so I get it.
It's Tuesday, I know. So
after her divorce, and she started with these charitable efforts and helping people. She began dating Egyptian film producer Dottie Fayed. Fayed. In 1997. So they had stopped in Paris en route to London after having spent 9 days together on holiday in the French and Italian Rivieras. Aboard his family's yacht, the Jonicle. So the couple reportedly met at a 1987-86 polo match when Fayed and Charles played on opposing teams.
Oh.
So they met there and they're like, ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they reconnected and openly dated over the summer of 1997, spending time together in Sardinia, the south of France, and Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was reported that some members of the royal family and former Prime Minister Tony Blair did not approve of their relationship.
Yeah, a lot of people were not very happy about that one.
Yeah, they couldn't accept that an Egyptian Muslim could eventually be the stepfather of the future King of England.
Yeah. Dude, that's a heavy sentence, and that really makes you think. The royal family is very much about keeping their lines,
reputation
pure. Like, I put it in quotes because what does pure even mean? But yeah. It's suspicious. It's a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So while visiting Paris, Diana and Dodie Fayed were involved in a car crash after trying to escape from the paparazzi early in the morning of August 31, 1997.
Yes.
So Fayed and the driver, Henry Paul, who was the deputy head of security at the Ritz Hotel in Paris, crashed into a pillar in the Pont de Alma underpass.
Mm-hmm.
They were pronounced dead at the scene, so they...
Yeah, they died that instant.
They died, yeah. Diana initially survived the crash, but succumbed to her injuries at a Paris hospital a few hours later.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what they say.
Yes, it's odd.
Yeah.
The timeline's odd.
Yeah, so she was 36 years old when she passed away.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah, so though the photographers were initially blamed for causing the accident, in 1999, a French judge cleared them of any wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead faulting Paul, the driver.
Yeah.
Because they found that he had a blood alcohol level over the legal limit at the time of the crash, and to have taken prescription drugs incompatible with alcohol.
Yeah. So they blamed the dead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
So, there are many conspiracies. I read a conspiracy about him.
Yes.
That he was switched. Did you hear about that one?
Oh, I did not read that one.
Yeah. So Henry Paul, like at the time of the crash, something happened, or like a vehicle got into the scene, and they took someone, exchanged him, they put him on the... Henry Paul got out of the car, and they put someone inside the car replacing Henry Paul.
Yeah.
And that was the guy that they said that was Henry Paul. And that's
But Henry Paul was dead, and he was unrecognizable after the crash.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know. So, that was pretty weird. I read that and I was like,
interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Very interesting.
Sergeant Xavier Gormelon was on duty. He was a firefighter. He was on duty at dawn on August 31st, 1997. So on that day, he didn't know that the Princess Diana was the one involved in the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew it was something serious when he arrived at the scene, which was surrounded by many doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So the team first removed Fayed and then tried to remove Diana. He said, after Fayed was removed, I was left with the passenger. She spoke in English and asked, my God, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I understood that, so I tried to calm her down. I held her hand. So according to Gormelon, those were her last words. So she didn't say anything else until she went to the hospital. So Xavier said that she was apparently fine, with steady breathing and a strong pulse, with only an exposed shoulder wound, but no other visible bruises.
Which is weird, because they say that.
However,
after
arriving at the Pitié Salpêtrière.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, what is it?
Which one is it?
Pitié
Salpêtrière. Pitié Salpêtrière. Oh, wow. That's a French word. I don't know. My French is a little weird.
University Hospital. She succumbed to her internal injuries.
Yeah.
So in one of the first detailed accounts in the wake of the accident, a French doctor, Frederick Miles, told the Times of London that he'd started treating Princess Diana, not realizing at the time that she was in the presence of royalty.
Mm-hmm.
So as Diana struggled to breathe, she let out cries of pain and kept repeating how much she hurt until losing consciousness.
Yeah, and then they tried to rehabilitate. No, not...
Resuscitate her.
Resuscitate her. And they just couldn't.
Yeah, so that's what happened. It. Yeah.
That's the official story.
That's
the
air quotes.
Air quotes on that, because there are some conspiracies out there.
There are many.
So I did have like notes on the official story as well. So as you were reading them, I'm like, yep, yeah, you're not wrong. That is exactly what the official published story was of her death and Dodi and Henry Paul. Mm-hmm. So however, there are some conspiracies out there, and we're going to be talking a little bit about them. So in 2001, Diana's butler, Paul Burrell, published a note that he claimed was written by the princess herself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In 1995. And there were allegations that her former husband, Prince Charles, was planning a car accident, a brake failure, and a serious head injury so that he could marry again.
Ooh.
So it's pretty drastic when once one gets a divorce, but it's even more like seen wrong, especially by the future King of England, mm-hmm. to remarry again after having a divorce.
Yeah. So Princess Diana wrote a letter and gave it to her butler?
Nope, she wrote a note.
She wrote a note.
And her butler found it.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like, he goes into the room and mm-hmm. whatever. And he found it. And she was known to like not really... I guess towards the end of the relationship, you know, they got a divorce. It was rocky. It was not good.
Mm-hmm.
She expressed doubt in her husband's kingship. And the ability for him to be king. And so she just didn't think he was fit to be a king. And so I guess she thought, I'm saying all these things about him. I think he's going to do something to get rid of me.
Very suspicious.
Very suspicious. Yes. Mohammed Al-Fayed, Dodi's father, had many claims against the royal family and was convinced that his son and Diana had been murdered.
Yeah.
This guy never stopped saying that. And he did not care if they were going to go after him. He always had these conspiracies, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that it was not a car crash. He's like, the royal family murdered my son.
Wow.
And Diana that night. And so this is just like all kind of building up and being like, okay, Diana, I guess, had a note and her butler published it. I don't know how reliable that is, but it's still kind of crazy that it mm-hmm. that it happened. So Commissioner John Stevens was put in charge of Operation Pageant in 2004, which investigated 175 conspiracies that had been made by Mohammed Al-Fayed.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was an actual operation by the British to investigate conspiracies because they didn't want them to ruin their image. It's still ruined to this day. I still think something happened.
Obviously, yeah.
I don't know what happened, but something happened. But they made it like a whole operation.
What was it called?
Operation Paget. Wow. P-A-J-E-T. So yeah, it's they were pretty intense about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they investigated 175 conspiracies. This is someone who doesn't want people to find out what happened. They're trying to prove their innocence, or they're trying to cover up their guilt.
Because if you have 170 plus conspiracies, then... Come on.
It was his father. Maybe he just wanted attention, or maybe he just actually believed something happened to his son.
I would have thought the same thing.
Yeah, because a parent would do the unthinkable for their kids.
Yeah, and then it's in your gut, like, you feel it, like, no.
Something's
like,
wrong.
Yeah, something's not right.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
So there's more conspiracies on Henry Paul, and it was that he was not driving under the influence. That he was not an alcoholic, that he was not under antidepressants, I mm-hmm. think, was the substance that he mixed with alcohol. So the families of Dodi Fayed and Paul did not accept what the French investigations reported, that he was under the influence and he had mixed other substances, and that's why they crashed. Mm-hmm. They were like, that's not true. You know, my son, Paul, that this is his parents, he was not an alcoholic. He was not this type of person. You could take it as if parents never believe their sons or their daughters can be alcoholics. Paul's sober demeanor captured on the CCTV of the Ritz, that's where they stayed, that evening, was inconsistent with Paul's blood samples that were found to have 3 times the French legal limit of alcohol.
Hmm.
So in his blood samples, they're like, this guy was super drunk. In the CCTV, he was normal. He was a chill guy. Yeah.
Maybe they swapped him, like I told you.
Yeah, maybe they swapped him. Maybe it wasn't Henry Paul. Maybe it was some other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, however, Lord Stevens had met with Paul's parents. So Lord Stevens is the commissioner of Operation Paget. He met with Paul's parents in 2006 and told them that their son was not drunk.
Mm.
A source that was close to Stevens claimed that he said this to the parents to be considerate, and that he did indeed believe that Paul was under the influence. Okay, so let me get this right.
So you just told them, oh, he wasn't drunk, so they don't feel bad.
Okay, let me get this right. You are the commissioner, the head commissioner of a very important operation under British orders,
mm-hmm.
and you tell the person who caused, in quotes, the car crash, that he wasn't drunk. What?
Why? So
what? That doesn't make any sense. If you are supposedly this like really important commissioner, you're not gonna go around telling people's parents just to consider their feelings that their son was not drunk.
Where's your work ethic?
Yeah, where's your work ethic? Like, I understand that, like, maybe he was trying to be considerate, but you don't outright say, "Oh, your son wasn't drunk."
And then you tell other people, "Oh yeah,
he was drunk. I was just trying to be considerate.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice."
Yeah. Maybe he knew something.
Yeah.
Because he was investigating all these conspiracies, and maybe he figured out, oh, damn, some of these conspiracies are kind of true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't say anything because...
he was going to get killed.
Yeah, he was going to get killed. Or like, sent somewhere to rot in a hole somewhere.
Just imagine all that, all the secrets that the royalty have.
They have a lot.
Yeah, they very, have a lot of secrets. Very dark, I bet.
What are your secrets, royal family? Let us know. Send us an email.
No.
Disconnectedpod@gmail.com.
No, that's not our email. No.
That's not our email. There were also rumors that Diana was pregnant with Dodi's child,
mm-hmm.
and that the couples were about to get engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... but in the... I mean, obviously, in the autopsy, that's... they're not going to say that.
No. So, actually... in January 2004, the former coroner of the Queen's household, Dr. John Burden, said that he attended post-mortem examination of Diana's body and found her to not be pregnant.
Hmm.
Okay, let me get this. So, they're saying that Princess Diana was pregnant and she was going to get married to Dodi, but then this coroner from the Queen's household, straight from the Queen's household, says, you know what, she wasn't. Yeah. I was there. I saw it. And she wasn't pregnant.
No. It's...
no. I'm not going to take the word of someone who was so...
hired by the by royalty.
By royal family to deny these claims.
Come on. Are we the only ones that are like, come on, really? Like,
really, dude?
But think about it. Like, the royal family, they have a lot of power, so...
yeah.
Someone couldn't just get there and do the autopsy by themselves and not tell the royalty.
Yeah.
Because then the royalty is going to be like, okay, let's go. Let's kill him.
Yeah, let's kill him. And then we'll just send our own coroner to say, oh, no, that wasn't what happened. She wasn't pregnant. However, some close friends of Diana did say that she did not plan to marry anytime soon because of just how bad her experience was with her past marriage.
Mm-hmm.
She's like... I need marriage as much as I need a rash on my face. That is something that she said.
Oh, really?
That one of her friends said that she said.
Wow.
I believe that. When you have like a bad experience with a marriage,
you just don't want to.
You don't want to go running into another.
Maybe eventually, but.
No, maybe she didn't want to get engaged and married, but maybe she was pregnant, and they just didn't want her to have a child with someone who didn't fit their norms, I guess. Yeah. Another weird thing that I found was that there are no CCTV images of the day that happened, despite there being 14 cameras in the Pont de la Alma, something like that, underpass.
Mm-hmm.
There are 14 CCTV cameras around the underpass.
And none of them got anything.
And none of them found anything. There were no images. They're saying that because there was a lot of private businesses that owned these cameras, and they just weren't functioning in the moment.
Especially that day. Yeah, like, you know what, I don't know, I have a feeling, just turn them off.
You know, usually they're on, but that day we just like, you know, it's the end of the month. Yeah, and we don't really want to,
just want to save power.
Yeah, and it was late, and we weren't there.
Yeah.
I was at home. But yeah, so then the camera directly above the underpass was monitored by the Paris Urban Traffic Unit, and their offices conveniently closed at 11 p.m. and they had no night shifts.
No, that's just...
When usually, I mean, car crashes happen a lot in early mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So for there to not be anyone monitoring traffic in an underpass where, I mean, you're in a tight space, other cars are going super fast as well, anything can happen, and you're not, your cameras aren't going, and you're not looking, maybe there could be a car crash.
This smells fishy. So. Yeah. There's obviously something suspicious about this, because, come on, really? Like, cameras, there's sensors or whatever in the freeways, and so you're telling me...
No one caught anything. No one saw the moment?
That day?
Yeah, and CCTV is a big thing in Europe?
Apparently not,
because CCTV captures everything.
Except car crashes.
Except the car crash of the Princess of Wales. What?
And it's the Princess of Wales.
The Princess of Wales.
Really?
And conveniently, your cameras just stopped working.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know. I think that's the biggest part where I'm like, someone's trying to cover something up.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There were also traces of a white Fiat Uno car
on
the Mercedes that Henry Paul was driving, but the French police were unable to find the vehicle. Some witnesses claimed that they had seen this vehicle.
Ghost car.
A ghost car. They had seen the vehicle exit the tunnel, but no one ever found it. The French police could not find this car.
Interesting.
I mean, when you don't have a lot of to go on except for like the model and make of a car, it's kind of hard to find it. But this is like the whole country looking for a car and no one found it. However, they probably did. So Jean-Paul James Denson had a white Fiat Uno, but Operation Paget, so this is the thing that was investigating conspiracy theories, found that it had been out of commission during the time of the car crash and that it was impossible for Anderson to have been driving that car on the day the accident happened. However, on May...
So it wasn't registered? Like,
no, it was just out of commission. Like, it was it was broken down.
Oh, okay.
He couldn't have driven it that day. However, May 2000, Jean-Paul Anderson died. Do you want to know what the official verdict was?
From natural causes.
No.
What?
Official verdict was suicide.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Official verdict was suicide. His body was found in a black burnt-out BMW in a forest of southern France.
Mm-hmm.
And his body was in the driver's seat of the car, and his head was detached and lay between the front seats.
Wow. What happened?
So they say it was a gunshot. It left side of his head, but there was no bullet. They said it was the fire from the bullet.
That just blew his head off?
That blew his head off.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So conspiracies are that either someone wanted him dead so that he wouldn't talk, because he was probably the one that caused
maybe
the car
crash. Maybe he was getting hotter. You know, like he was getting closer.
Yeah.
I
thought you meant for a second hot, like the fire that detached his head from his body.
No.
And that's why I laughed, because I'm like, why are you making that joke?
No, I mean, like, he was heading, like, he was getting very, very close to finding out something about the crash or something.
No,
about
because he was the one that was driving the white Fiat Uno. So maybe he was the one that was ordered to go and cause the car crash. And he was about to speak, or he was losing, like, he had too much guilt. And he's like, I'm going to say something. And either they went to go kill him, or he died, or he killed himself because of that guilt.
He was on fire.
He was getting hotter. No. He got too hot, man. I'm so sorry. That's a bad joke. But yeah, so some people think that that he either was killed or killed himself because he wasn't directly involved with the Princess Diana. Who knows?
We will never know.
It's just so many questions and so many conspiracies and no one answers anything. And there will never be answers.
Exactly, I was going to say that.
There's never going to be an answer because it's the royal family. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
However, there was another man, Levan Tan, a 22-year-old taxi driver at the time of the crash. He had a similar Fiat Uno. His father claimed that he allegedly saw his son respray his car red hours after the accident. The car could have been involved in the accident. However, French police ruled it out because he was at work during the time of the crash. But it was later uncovered that he had left work early that day.
Oh.
But then the French police was just like, no.
No, that's not him.
Yeah. No. I love when police is just like, you know what? No.
No, that's not it. That's
Looks like evidence, but we're not going to touch that.
He looks like a nice guy, so no, we're just going to...
Look at him. Look at this. He's just a little guy.
Yeah, he's just going to roll him out. So. Yeah.
Right? Cops, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, they rule him out, even though later it was uncovered. Oh, he probably did leave work early, and he could have been at the crime scene.
But they never questioned it. They just went like, okay. Yeah,
the article just keeps going. They're like, I guess they just didn't bother. They were busy that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just didn't bother with it. So there's two possible suspects or potential murderers.
Mm-hmm.
Of Princess Diana, whether it was someone who was sent by the royal family, or maybe it was Levan Tan who was just in an accident and he didn't want to be known as the man who killed the Princess of Wales. It was probably a complete accident or completely intentional. However, multiple witnesses recall seeing a man that matched Levan Tan's description leaving the crime scene.
Come on, what else do you need?
Yeah. Interesting. right? That's what I'm saying. What?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. So I'm going to talk a little bit now about the timeline between the car crash and, well, the first emergency call and Princess Diana getting to the hospital.
Okay.
Because it's long. It's a long time. So first call to emergency services was at 12:26 a.m. She arrived at the hospital at 2:06 a.m.
That's an hour and a half. Yeah, why?
Right? So emergency officials arrived at the scene at 12:30 a.m., 4 minutes after the first emergency call. That's really quick.
Yes.
They got there pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Diana was removed from the car at 1 a.m., so it took them around half an hour to get her out of the car, because the car was just... It makes sense. The car was totaled. Yeah. They had to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
She was then moved to the ambulance at 1:18 a.m.
So almost an hour of after the crash.
Yeah. She's finally in the ambulance.
Oh, man.
And Dr. Martino was ordered the driver to drive slowly because he was concerned about Diana's blood pressure from deceleration and acceleration.
No.
Right? Exactly. So they, on purpose, went slow.
Yeah.
They went slow to save her life.
Go slow. You know what? If you're hungry, go to In-N-Out.
You know what, guys? I didn't have dinner this night. Let's go through a McDonald's. I'm down for some chicken nuggies. I want that 10-piece.
Yeah, go to the drive-thru because we got to go to the hospital.
I want some BBQ sauce and some ranch and double-dip my chicken nuggies in that.
But go slow, please.
Please go slow.
Yeah. And then head out to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So they were initially... I think they were initially going to... one hospital. There were so many French names that I lost track. They were going to one hospital, but ended up moving her to another one because she would be taken better care of to the other one.
Right.
So she was without proper medical care for an hour and a half, and they were like, just drive slow. Drive slow, man. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. That's not... No, that's very fishy. It smells fishy in here. Yeah.
So I think these are all different conspiracy theories, but I think I like to think they build on top of each other because there has to be some truth in all of these. Mm-hmm. There has to be some truth in the note that the butler gave. There has to be some truth in Henry Paul and that he was probably not under the influence, or it wasn't even Henry Paul.
And to start with, she did not feel safe. She thought that someone was going after her. Maybe she was... maybe she felt something was gonna go wrong. Because that's what I read. That she was... That's why she left the note to her butler.
Yeah. Because she's like, because something's gonna happen to
me. She didn't feel safe.
Exactly.
So there's something. Why was she not feeling safe? Like, she's... Yeah. A very important person.
Exactly. She is protected as part of the royal family.
Yeah, she could be like the safest person in the world.
Yeah, they are the safest people in the world. Why do you think not a lot of things have happened to them recently?
Yeah, and then like to not feel safe and having, you could have 100,000 guards on your bag.
Yeah, because you have an infinite amount of money.
Yeah, but she didn't feel safe, so there's,
there's something to say about that.
Prince Charles, man. I think that guy.
Yeah.
It's a douche.
There's also something to say about the missing CCTV images.
Yeah.
You just want to cover something up. And there's the timeline of the car crash to getting to the hospital is way too long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good response times for ambulance should be, but they should not be an hour and a half.
They should be quick.
They should be quicker than an hour and a half. And there's something to say about the white Fiat. And the two people who could potentially be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been just the accident. Or it could have been...
Planned.
And that man felt guilty and took his own life. Or someone took care of him. Someone killed him. Yeah.
That's just... Oh, man.
It's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that something probably happened.
Yes. I do think that the royal family had to do something with it. Because... Like I told you earlier, they couldn't accept a Muslim being the stepfather of the future king.
Yeah.
So and today we still have that racism?
Yeah, racism.
I think the royal family had they look suspicious.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just people. Obviously, there's nothing that anyone can do about it.
No.
So this is like a close case. Princess Diana is dead, and she was a very good person.
Yes, she was.
And, well, this sucks.
Yeah. We're not saying she was perfect, because she probably had her flaws as well, like any person does.
Right.
But she tried.
Mm-hmm.
More than I've seen a lot of the royal family try.
Yes. So, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You got anything more to add?
No, I think that's it. Hey, royal family, watch your back.
Yeah, that's not my sister.
These two randos from the United States just cracked your case.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening, those of you who are still listening.
Yes, thank you so much. If you made it all this way, here's your treat.
What is it? Thank you so much for listening. You guys, you can find us on Spotify, Anchor, and all major platforms.
Yes.
And we are now in TuneIn Radio.
Ooh, and we are.
iHeartRadio.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Thank you, iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. We love you.
We love you so much. You guys, please like, share, and rate us with 5 stars so we start climbing the charts.
Yes, please.
So, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave a 5 stars and rate us, please. And
just like, this is your comment for the review. Wow, these guys are so awesome. I love when they talked about that thing. That thing was so cool.
There you go. You don't have to think about what can I put on my review. No, there you go.
There you go. I thought for you. You're welcome.
Yeah. And please support the show. Don't forget to enable the notification bell to get notified every time we upload a new episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you guys have a scary story or a near-death experience and out-of-body experience,
please. Or another conspiracy about the royal family, yeah. Please let us know.
Yeah, if you guys want to add something to what we spoke about today, just send us an email at thedisconnectedpod@gmail.com.
Yes.
And you might hear your name and your story on future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, this has been The Disconnected Podcast, and I am your host, Angel.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And you can find us on Twitter as @TheDisconnected, D-A, Disconnected, Instagram as The Disconnected Pod, Facebook and Tumblr as The Disconnected Podcast, and please support the show with a small monthly donation.
A monthly donation.
So thank you very much. We love you. This has been The Disconnected Podcast. Bye.
Goodbye. I'm losing my voice. Ah!